This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Hamdan yaliku bi jalali wajhihi wa bi azimi sultani. Wa sallallahu ala khairi khalqihi Muhammadin as-sadiq al-amin al-mab'uth rahmatan lil alamin wa ala alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. وعلى أصحابه الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اكتبنا منهم اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك اللهم إني ضعيف فقوي في رضاك ضعفي وخذ الخير بناصيتي واجعل الإسلام منتهى ردائي اللهم إني ضعيف فقوني وإني ذليل فعزني فإني فقير فارزقني واغنني آمين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the hearing channels of our hearts to His remembrance, to His words, and impress in our hearts the true meaning, the one that changes the hearts to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with, which is transformational. We declare our bankruptcy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us by our forelocks to where He is pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to honor us in spite of our actions which lead us to disgrace, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at our poverty, our spiritual poverty, and enrich us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove us from misguidance and bring us into guidance. And the best guidance is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings and explanation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us why all of these are combined in some of these people. He says, "An kana dha malin wa banin," because he has mal and banin, wealth and children, human resources, financial resources, power, position. He forgets, or she forgets, who gave this? Who gave this position? Who gave the wealth? Who gave the children? Which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person attributes all of this to himself, and instead of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is ungrateful. And he ridicules Allah's promises and His warnings. Remember what he said in the previous surahs also? Because of his mal and banin that I have. Well, these are stories of tales of the ancients, you know, that these are fables. And he forgets that Allah is in charge of everything. That the command of Allah is only kun. So, as we said, that noon, all it takes is one command from Allah and it will eliminate everything. Allah will take, can take everything away. It's out of His wisdom. He doesn't, and we'll come to that later in the surah. So, one level of denial is to attribute everything to yourself. And this we have to look at ourselves. I have so many children. Who gave you? I have this honor and position in the community. Who gave you that izzah? I have power. I have been elected as president. I am the president of the country. Who gave you that power? I have wealth. I have health. I am this and I am this. I mean, here we are taught to say, I am number one. Well, there is only one. You have to remember that. That arrogance is not good for us. We have to remember that all of this comes from Allah. So the one level is to attribute, you know, me. Just like Qarun did when he was said to, you know, give some of what the wealth he had. He said, I am intelligent. It's because of my smartness that I have all of this wealth. Similarly, people who have power will say, look, I have my military might. So, as Muslims, alhamdulillah, we never deny this, that all blessings are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there are lesser degrees where we could be more affected, such as we can be ungrateful because we are not attentive to the blessings. We don't deny them, but we didn't realize all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day I wake up, I'm feeling healthy. I don't realize that the health is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I need to be grateful for. I have a roof every day over my house, over my head, and I assume this is normal. I should have it. You know, I'm working. I go to work every day. I should have a roof. I should have clothes over me. So I am denying the blessings of Allah by not recognizing them. With my tongue, I'm not saying that this is not from Allah, but I'm not realizing. That's why the Prophet ﷺ taught us this dua in the morning and evening, the meaning of which is that whatever blessings that I woke up with, that I've reached this morning, you know, every blessing that I have and every blessing that all of the makhluk creation of Allah has is from Allah alone. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ. If you say that in the morning, Ya Allah, as a generic thanks for it, without counting everything, لَكَ الْحَمْدُ, everything, مَا أَصْبَحَ بِنَعْمَةٍ, whatever the ni'mah that I woke up to today is, and for all of creation, min Allah wahdahu la sharika. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ. If you say that in the morning and evening, you have fulfilled that right of showing gratitude, even though you haven't thought of every single one. So, one of the things that gets people into trouble is having the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are given as a fitna, as a trial. Allah gives you blessing so that you may show gratitude. But it may also, the blessings if given, like Allah gives, can take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you forget about Him. I have so much money, I don't have to think about who. I have so much power, I don't have to think. I'll do whatever, I'm above that. So, because of the wealth and because of the human resources, a person may feel arrogant, may have self-admiration, look how good I am, how smart I am, you know, how much I have. And looks down on others, which is kibr. And again, these are the leaders of Makkah, which had these traits. And it also applies to all people, not just the leaders of Makkah, as we are trying to say over and over again, that we do not acknowledge sufficiently the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we don't say with our tongues, but in our own hearts, we attribute things to the means that Allah used to give us these things. Okay? For example, if I get a lot of money that Allah meant for me, but He used me as the means by making some business decision, then I forget that this Allah who made me do this, I say, look, what a smart business decision I made. So indirectly, that's what happens. You know? And that's all the time. This is a big test. Everything that happens must, we have to look beyond, you know, our eyes have to go beyond where it is coming from. You know, my store is giving me so much. No, the store is not giving. Allah can give through, He is giving you through the store, but He'll give to. Allah is the one who's giving. My health is not coming because I work in the gym 4 hours and I ride my bicycle 90 miles. My health is coming because Allah has given me that. So it is good for us to exercise this every day. Everything you see, I can see clearly. MashaAllah, the doctor did very good LASIK surgery. My glasses are gone. Allah wanted me to see clearly. He used that person. I remind myself consciously enough as an exercise till ultimately, no matter what happens, you don't have to consciously, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it, behind it. And once you become like that, then you will have true gratitude. You will truly feel Because then you will feel everything is from Allah. You know, your wife smiles at you. You say, I must have said something good. No, this is from Allah. Everything has to be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of this delusion that He has power and wealth and children and all, إِذَا تُتْلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Same story. That when our ayats, our verses are recited to him, he says, أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Tales, old stories. You know, where do you come up with these stories? We are living in the 20th century. We've reached the moon. We are landing on Mars. And you are talking about gardens in the heavens. You are talking about Hurayn. You are talking about this. And I mean, who's... Just the other day somebody told me, and then fortunately not a believer, how can you be sure that there is life after that? How are you so sure? How do you know there is punishment and reward? Nobody has told us. I said, yes, the one who created it has told us. But that's the belief. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when our ayat are recited, Allah's book is recited, a sound mind and a sound heart should immediately submit. Samana wa ta'ana. This is what Allah says, this is the truth. If there is a command for me, I will do it. If there is a prohibition for me, I will observe that prohibition. After describing these nine characteristics and why these may have come on, because of the arrogance and delusion of wealth and power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ultimately, سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ. Sa means in the near future. There are two future words used in Arabic. Sawfa. Sawfa means in the future, in the distant future. Sa, when it precedes, means in the near future. سَنَسِمُهُ. We will brand him. Okay? Nasimu wasama means to mark, to brand. Like you brand the animal, you heat the mark in the fire and you put it on the Sanisnasimhu. We will brand him, this person who has these characteristic traits, and forever. Alal khurtum. Khurtum is like the snout of a pig. For animal noses, the word khurtum is used. For human beings, the word used is what? Anf. Allah is talking about human beings. But He is saying we will brand him on his khurtum. So implied meaning is this man is like an animal, like a pig. He's like an animal. Because the nose, anf, has special significance. Even say in English language, we use the word like, he had his nose up in the air. What does that mean? He was arrogant because this is a sign of honor. Or I'm going to rub his nose in the dirt. Means I'm going to bring him down. So nose is a sign of honor. So on what he takes arrogance and honor on this, Allah first dishonors him by calling it khurtum. Said, where everybody sees it, I will put a mark on him. A mark to show that this is a criminal. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about the people that they will be known by the marks on their faces. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these criminals will be known so that they cannot hide after. This is on the day of Qiyamah. Now there is a change of scene. After giving this whole scene, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these chieftains, these people of power, the power structure of Makkah, I have tried them, balauna, like I have tried the people, it refers to people of the garden. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna balaunahum kama balauna ashab al-jannah. Idh aqsamu layasrimunnaha musbihin wala yastathnoon. That bala means a trial, you know, to try people. Balau. Inna, indeed we have, balawnahum, we have tried these people of Makkah with a special blessing. What was that special blessing?
A prophet.
ultimately is that, the sending revelation in Rasulullah SAW. But before that, they were honored because they were neighbors of the house of Allah, the Kaaba. The people used to come there. They were honored. It given them honor, given them power, given them wealth, given them children, all the same things. And then send them the greatest honor, which is sending them Rasulullah. So we tried them to see what the response would be. And you know what the response was. So it's similar to the story Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now refers to a people, Ashabul Jannah. People who had a garden. And the Mufassirun tell us that these were believers, because you will see in the story later on that these people believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were from the earlier Muwahidun, like maybe from the Bani Israel or from the Christians. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us their story. I'll give you the summary of the story first and then we'll go into the details. That the story is that there was a good man, and as we said, they were people who believed in Allah, who had a massive farm or garden with lot of produce. And what he used to do is he used to take, when the harvest time came, enough for his family, enough for next year's cultivation, and the rest he would give to the poor. And not only that, he would, when he had his people go and harvest the crops, he said, leave some there so the poor people can come and take it themselves. So he was a generous man. Now he passed away. Next gen. So the boys get together. They said, our father was not making sound business decisions. That's a lot of wealth that is being wasted on these people, these poor people. We would do so much better if we took it all for ourselves and not give anything to anyone else. So they debated amongst themselves. There were one or two sort of voices that disagreed. One of them, we'll talk about, suggested that that was not the right thing to do, but ultimately the majority, and they decided that tomorrow, this time for harvest, we are going to go early. We are going to harvest the whole crop, leave nothing there for anyone, and we are not going to allow anybody in. And how much more profit we will have. This was the plan that they made. Nobody should come to know. Then they went to sleep after making this plan, this shura that they had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom, during the night, sent a firestorm, lightning struck, and the wind came. Everything harvest was gone, only black earth was left there. Next morning they get up, wake each other early, Fajr time. Let's go early before people come, because they know it's harvest time. And they're hurrying along, if we need to harvest quickly. And they're whispering to each other. They even said, we are not allowing to allow a single poor person, to come there. So they go hurry over there. They come to this black burnt out place. First response, we took the wrong turn because it was some distance from where they lived. This is not our land. This is not our land, because we have gardens full of fruit and things. So their first response was, we lost our way. We came to the wrong place. And then they realized, no, the place is not wrong. This was our garden, and it's all gone. Now, because they were believers at this, they made bad decisions, bad choices, but now they realize, now they start turning back. And so one of them who was said to them, look, I was telling you, you should thank Allah, you should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you shouldn't take this attitude. Then they ultimately, they blame each other, if you had done this and we had done this. And then finally they come with Tawbah and Adama, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness, saying that we have done wrong and maybe Allah will replace us with something, with the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that look, I gave all these blessings to this family or these people. This is what they planned, the bad decisions that people make. And every bad decision has its consequences, and this is what happened. And this has happened more than once. More than once an example like this is in the Quran, like we have a similar example somewhat with in Surah Kahf, which is slightly different, but garden is mentioned in three or four different places. You know, one with rain gets washed away, one this one, one the people of the guy who had arrogance about it in Surah. So let's go over this one. So they said that we will go in the morning and we will harvest this. He said, Aqsamu, idh aqsamu, when they swore an oath to themselves, لَيَسْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبَحِينَ. In the morning, in the subah time, we will harvest this whole garden. وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ. They did not make an exception, an alternative. They said, we are just going to do this. Now the Mufassirun have said they did not make an exception means two things. One is they did not say, inshallah, we are going to do this. Okay. The other understanding also, which makes sense, is they said, we will take it all ourselves, you'll not make an exception. Okay, we'll give some to the poor. So this is the determination, the bad choices they made, because out of greed for more, denial of the rights of the poor, which they have rights, and making the bad choices, not recognizing that this whole thing is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, فَطَافَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. فَطَافَ, you've just come from doing tawaf, طَافَ, فَطَافَ went around this garden, عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ, one of these forces from your Lord, like a tornado, like a fire, that it let, you know, while وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. So they made all these plans and they said, let's get some rest. They are completely unaware what Allah has done, what has happened there. They were sleeping. We don't know what happens, right? So there's one scene, they've got all these evil plans, and the other end, what they've planned for is completely wiped out. فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِينَ. And the morning came as if it had been completely burnt and gone. Okay. فَتَنَادَوْ مُصْبِحِينَ. Tanadaw, they called. So, must have gotten up pretty early with the excitement, you know. They didn't sleep till 10 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Come on, get up, wake up. They called each other quickly. Let's go, let's go. Musbahin, early in the morning. Anirdu, anirdu, let's go early. Ala harthikum, means to your cultivation. The common Arabic is ugdu ila, go to. But here the word is ala, because it's showing this is their arrogance. They think this is ours. Ala harthikum in kuntum sarimin, if you are the one who are sarim. Sarim means who is very resolute. If you're definite and resolute, decisive, you made this decision, let's go and execute it. We are very determined. Fantaliqu wa hum yatakhafatun. And so they left yatakhafatun in khufiya tones. On the way, they are talking to each other, whispering, so that nobody hears what their plan is. Okay, so all this is going on. And what are they saying? Allah yadkhulannaha al-yawma alaykum miskeen. We will not allow any miskeen entry into this. It's all for us. So this is no beggars allowed. And today we have signs somewhere saying no solicitation. Similarly, no poor people allowed here. You know, that's not something that Allah looks favorably on. You don't exclude people because of their wealth from certain things or their poverty.
Solicitors are not.
Well, sometimes, you know, so, you know, asking. Soliciting means asking. Somebody may come, and sometimes we do that. But there are other meanings of soliciting. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, Sa'il, anybody, don't allow anybody to come and ask. It's not allowed here. This is not the forum for it. Don't stop anyone. You can give them or you have a choice of not giving them. وَغَدَوْ عَلَى حَرْدٍ قَادِرٍ. غَدَوْ means they set out early. عَلَى حَرْدٍ قَادِرٍ. حَرْدٍ means with a very strong intention, determination. made by a person who has power and capability, and there is a intensity on it, the shiddah, that they have the force that we can implement what we have planned. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهَا قَالُوا إِنَّا لَضَالُونَ. But when they saw the garden, they said, إِنَّا لَضَالُونَ. We have certainly gone astray, means we took the wrong exit. We have not come, this is not our garden, it doesn't look anything. So the first response was that we have gone, lost our way, and we've come to the wrong garden. Next ayah, بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ. No. One understanding is Allah is saying, no, they should say نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ. Not that we are ضَالُونَ, we have lost, but we have been deprived. We have been made mahroom. Or the other would be that they themselves realized after a moment, or after a few moments of initial shock, that no, this was our garden and we have been deprived. Okay. قَالَ أَوْسَطُهُمْ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ لَوْلَا تُسَبِّحُونَ. قَالَ أَوْسَطُهُمْ. أَوْسَط, وُسْتَ, the middlemost. That the middle, when we talk about middle in Islam, that's called the moderate position. Our deen is called deenul wusta. Guard your salah, especially salatul wusta. That everything, you're not extreme right, you're not extreme left, you are a moderate. You are in the middle. You don't go to the edges where you could fall off. So, someone who is awsat, it's considered who is more balanced. So, among these brothers, or cousins, there was one who was the most moderate, who was had the best heart from among them. When he saw this, he said to them, did I not? So when they were having that shura, this must have been a person who said, you know, it's not the right thing to do. You know, we shouldn't be greedy. We shouldn't do this. And he said, I told you to do tasbih of Allah, to be in dhikr of Allah. You know, to acknowledge Allah. Because if you are in dhikr of Allah, you're unlikely to make bad choices. That's the importance of constantly being in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we get into the habit of constantly being in dhikr, we will find that we are making right choices all the time. It is when we are in ghafla. Because when we are in ghafla, what happens? Now the waswasa of shaitan is coming all the time. And then we start, because of our weaknesses, we start making bad choices, wrong choices. So he reminds them, and what must have happened is because he was one voice, and maybe he was not that strong, he got bowled over by them and he went along, but now he reminds them. So he says, didn't I tell you that we should have been in dhikr and tasbih of Allah to glorify and sanctify Allah? Giving up dhikr of Allah leads to making bad decisions and choices. And continuous dhikr of Allah grants protection from bad and horrible decisions. Then they realize, they say, Qalu, they all said, Subhana Rabbina inna kunna zalimeen. Allah, our Lord, is elevated above all blemishes, above all imperfections. That's what Subhana means. Subhanallah means anytime they say, like for example, Allah SWT says in the Quran, they say, قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. Say, they said Allah has taken a son. What is the next word comes in the Quran? Subhana. Means Allah is above this imperfection of having a son. Whenever they say something about Allah that is not befitting, our response should be Subhanallah. Said, I was lying because I was trying to defend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an argument. You should say, Subhana. Allah doesn't require lies. He doesn't require someone to defend him. You know. So that should be that we should always learn that it is us that we have to constantly be in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhana inna kunna zalimeen. Now they did not blame anyone else. This is the beginning of tawbah, means you admit your mistake. This is the same thing that the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who? And Yunus alayhi salam, what did he say when he had made a mistake? In the belly, he was always in dhikr, in the belly of the whale, what did he say? Inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. What are they saying? Inna kunna zalimeen. He said, min al-zalimeen, I'm among them. They are saying, we are. This is a greater admission. We are the zalim. So they have turned to Allah. فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ يَتَلَاوَمُونَ. And part of this tawbah was, they started blaming. فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ. They are arguing with each other. You know, you said this, and you made us do this, and you said this, and you said, no, I didn't say this, and you said this, and why didn't you listen to me, and why didn't you follow? They are arguing with each other, that blame game, as they said. You know, when something goes wrong, any decision is bad, business goes bad, garden gets burned down, you got to blame somebody. So that went on, and then finally, they accepted the whole blame, that it's all our fault. Yatalawamun, you know, blaming each other. Now, they have realized, because they were believers, that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The garden was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This punishment, if you want to say, or this test that has come, is also a divine act of displeasure. And it's not, sometimes we say, today we say, natural disaster. You know, the flood came in Bangladesh, you know, or the fire came in California. Can a fire come anywhere without the command of Allah? Can a drop of water, molecule of water, move without? Can the wind, the tornado took off this, can the wind move without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. So we must remember that in everything there is the hand of Allah. So they accepted that, they recognized that, they acknowledged their mistake, they said, we have done dhulm, and we are indeed transgressors. So all of those delusions of wealth and power and intoxication, that we have this and we have that, is now suddenly gone. And for us, the lesson here is that everything, every decision we make has a consequence in the dunya and in the akhirah. Some you see immediately, like these people did, even before they actually did it, just by planning this happened. But it will have consequences. And the greater consequences will come, and we'll talk about in the next ayah. They said, قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا طَاغِينَ. They said, وَيْلَنَا means woe on us. You know, we are طاغين. طاغين means rebellious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about taga, ma or taga, in like the flood water exceeded, when you talk about Nuh alayhi salam, that we exceeded, we were tyrants, we crossed all bounds of decency, of akhlaq, by the plans that we were making, you know, of morality and balance. Now, they've acknowledged all of that, then they say, Asa Rabbuna أَن يُبْدِلَنَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا إِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا رَاغِبُونَ. Now we have done tawbah, we have asa rabbuna, we have hope in our Lord that Allah will replace this burnt thing for us with something better. That's good. We should always have hope in Allah, because we make mistakes, so you don't become hopeless. Okay? Because Allah tells us that, you know, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, who have, or you who believe, who have transgressed all bounds, don't lose the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuha alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, or you who have transgressed against yourself, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not lose hope in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in a way, they are making dua. They're asking for forgiveness, and they're showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their hope that Allah will replace it for them. All of this part, second part of this, comes under one word, which is called tawbah. Tawbah. This is sincere tawbah. Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ الْعَذَابُ وَلَأَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ كَذَلِكَ الْعَذَابِ. This is the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards bad decisions, but the adab of the akhirah is akbar لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, that what is going to come. Allah will show you consequences of your action here, but what is coming in the akhirah, the consequences of a choice, that's the real, you know, both for reward and for punishment. You make good decisions, you make good choices, Allah will reward you. He'll give you sakina, He'll give you honor, He'll give you peace, He'll give you other things here. But what he wants to give you out of His generosity, this dimensional world does not have it. The reward isn't there. What Allah wants to give you, that will only be given in the Akhirah. Because this world doesn't, if He gave you the whole world, it is less than what He wants to give you. Similarly, when we make the bad choices, this world does not have enough punishment, because the punishment, whatever you have, you burn, you die. It's not sufficient for what Allah wants to give you, which is an eternal punishment for not you, but the people who do these things in the Akhirah. So, we have to remember that there is the Akhirah, where there is infinite justice. Here everything is limited. Reward is limited, punishment is limited. Sometimes you don't see it. But on the day of infinite justice, when we are told every atom, dharra, of your good deed will be shown, nothing left. And every dharra of your bad deed will be shown. That is the day of justice. So, these choices that we make, tawhidi choices, akhlaqi choices, moral choices, business choices, everything will be truly rewarded in the Akhirah. There is a saying, Al-Jaza'u min jinsil amal, that the reward is commensurate to the nature of the action. Just remember, the full reward cannot be fulfilled in this world because of its current limitations that Allah has made. So I'm going to stop at this, because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now goes to the opposite decision of the muttaqeen. The next ayah is Inna lil muttaqeena inda rabbihim jannatin na'im. We will go to that next time, because now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the muttaqeen and what choices they make and what the rewards. The people of taqwa, the people who make the good choices. And that's why we should always be screening what is going on inside us, of thoughts, of plans, of impulses, of likes, dislikes, drives, anything that is not in compliance with awareness of Allah and His pleasure, we should try and filter out, screen out from. Because Allah likes us to be in that state of consciousness of birr and taqwa. And therefore, that is what is required from us. That's what we strive for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the muttaqeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the shakkareen, who are always grateful to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us aware of His bounties while He is giving them to us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us aware of His bounties by taking them away from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn from what we have learned, and to screen ourselves, not project this on others, for the good qualities and the bad traits, and to work and make lot of, to correct those, and ask sincerely in dua, Ya Allah, show me my traits, my characteristics, my actions, my decisions that you don't like. And then give me tawfiq to do tawbah and to change my decisions for future to only those that which you like. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.